Good morning, Anele.
Good morning, Anele.
Yes, honorable members and our guests. Yes, honorable members and our guests. We received a request to nominate the acting chairperson of this session. So I will be calling upon the members of the portfolio committee as per rule 159 of the NA rules to elect the acting chairperson for this session.
Anele?
Yes, chairperson?
Yes, I'm on the platform. I've nominated Captain Kacha to chair the meeting on my behalf.
Okay. No, thank you very much, chairperson.
There's an echo there. I'm in transit. I'm traveling. I'm going to an appointment, a doctor's appointment. Can we please ask Tuli to mute your mic? Okay, I'm in transit. I've requested the Honorable Mukasha to chair the meeting. I've got a doctor's appointment, but I'm still on the platform now. Honorable Mukasha?
Okay.
Good morning, colleagues, and good morning, honorable members. Thank you very much, Chair. This morning's portfolio committee meeting will receive a briefing by the Department of Higher Education on the progress in the review of the TVET and CET sector's curriculum to respond to industry needs and the review of the TVET examination cycle. This will be led by the DG of the department, Mr. Kwebskonde. You will then also receive a briefing by the Quality Council for Trade and Occupations on the progress in the review of the TVET and CET sector's curriculum to respond to industry needs, which will be led by Mr. S. Zumu, who is the chairperson of the QCTO, and Mr. V. Naidu, who is the CEO of the QCTO. After that, we'll then go into discussion, and then we'll have responses then from the two NTO, well, from the department and from the QCTO. We'll then also, as members, consider the minutes for the 9th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 16th of October. The TVET and the CET program is of absolute importance to the country, and in our articulations of wanting to create equality and democracy within the higher education sector by ensuring that the university program, the TVET program, and the CET program are looked at with equal importance. And one of the most important things in that is to ensure that the curriculum at the TVET, within the TVET sector and within the CET sector, the CET program, is of a standard that can truly give the young people of our country the necessary skills and knowledge to be able to actively participate in our economy. And we've also realized that there are lots of certificates and that go within the TVET program, and which also to some extent also leads to, you know, the backlog that we have. So perhaps if we look at the multiple ways in which we can strengthen these two programs, being the TVET program and the CET program, we can alleviate some of the challenges that arise from these programs as a consequence of an inefficiency in one particular part of these programs. So honorable members, not going further, I will then allow for the DG Gwebskonde to then lead the department in their presentation. DG?
And sorry, we received an apology from the DG. Ms. Singh will be leading the department's delegation on behalf of the department.
Okay, actually, there's something I've not done yet, and that indicates that I'm not used to chairing this meeting. I've not even noted apologies, so perhaps let's begin noting apologies before we go into the meeting.
Yes, Chairperson, we received apologies from the Deputy Minister. We also received apologies from the DG, and also received the apologies from the apologies that we received, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, so the member that we have in the House, I see it, Honourable Malaniso, the Chair, Filima Pulane, Honourable Matata, Honourable Ngobo, Dr. Susan Tembagwayo,
Dr.
Bosho,
Honourable Malaniso. And obviously.
And Honourable Kibia, okay. Honourable
Kibia as well.
You want to?
And Honourable. There you are, we see you now. We're quite a full house then. All right, thank you so much, Mr. Kabindisi. We'll then allow for Ms. Singh to then lead the conversation or the presentation from the department.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, and the officials of the department and all other attendees. I suppose I'll put my video on. I hope, Chair, it's going to be stable because I must admit up front I have been having a horrendous time with the technology and the connections, and I'm hoping it's going to hold out. So if there is a problem, I'll just put my video off if it's okay. All right. Chair, thank you for this opportunity to present at the portfolio committee. Yes, can you hear me? Yes.
Yeah. Your network is unstable, so now that you've seen your face, I think you can switch off your video so that your audio becomes stronger.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm hoping this is better.
Thank you.
Does it sound any better? Is it okay? Can you hear me? Huh? Hello, Chair. Can you hear me?
Let's continue.
All right. I'll try and you know get it going so that we don't lose anything. So thank you, Chair. I will be making the presentation. And I am here also with the Director for Curriculum Development and Support, Mr. Vele, and he will assist when we get to the point of the discussion and the answering of the questions. Chair, can we have the presentation uploaded? Does Anele have it? I'm working off two different devices because of the connection problem. So if Anele has it, can he upload it quickly? Or can he ask, allow Mr. Bailey to share so he can upload it?
Mr. Cullen, do you think will you be able to share?
Mr. Bailey, can you share the presentation? Did you answer?
Just 1 second. Okay. Mr. Cullen, you see what will be better for you? For you
yes,
to share?
It's on.
Or for?
It's on.
Okay.
It's on. Okay. If you can put it into slide mode, Mr. Bailey, it would help. So, okay. So, Chair, the presentation outline, which is, and it's not a long presentation, it's just really 10 slides. The presentation outline gives us the background on the whole, you know, curriculum review and updates, the curricula that have been reviewed, curriculum reviews in the context of 4IR, which is very important and current, the rationalization of TVET qualifications, which we are busy with and started a while ago, as well as the examinations, which the portfolio committee had asked that it needs an update on, and of course, just a very brief conclusion. So by way of the background, Chair, the review process, particularly of the native programs, in terms of TVET, the key offerings that we speak about are the what we call the ministerial programs, and that in essence is the National Certificate Vocational, which was started in 2007, and then the NATED programs, which we know are historical programs in the TVET colleges. So the NATED programs have been around for a very long time. It's what everybody knows, and hence the need for the review of the NATED, because those have been considered seriously outdated for the period of time they have been in the system. So the real review process started around 2013, where the QCTO had initiated the review of select subjects that were in high demand. And just to look at the slide for the benefit of the honorable members, if you look at the subjects on the slide, you can understand the urgency for the review at that stage. Subjects that had to do with the law, if you look at labor relations, mercantile law, municipal administration, and so forth, including accounting, had to do with changes that were happening in reality. The law was changing, labor law was changing, or even not fundamentally changing, but there were amendments. And that is why we undertook these reviews very urgently, so that the content could be updated and what was considered the shift from the old to the new could be incorporated into the curriculum. In accounting as well, we had seen changes in terms of the auditing processes and so forth in financial accounting, and all of those were taken into account, and these subjects were prioritized in 2013, and then they were implemented, as you can see, in January 2015. The point that is made here is that reviews are not entirely new. A lot of the NCV subjects, National Certificate Vocational, were actually reviewed from 2008 through to 2012. That was the focus, because it was a brand new program. We're getting a lot of feedback on those, and we felt we needed to pay attention to the feedback we're getting, and we concentrated on that. So in 2013, these reviews were undertaken. They were implemented in 2015. If we go to the next slide, in 2017, there was a TVET in Bizo, and many members would be aware of that and the resolutions that were taken. One of the very important resolutions was around the review and update of the college curriculum, and in particular, the NATED 191 program. So following from that declaration, or one of the declarations that in Bizo, we began with communication in four and management communication in four, which are very similar subjects with slight variations, because different programs would require either communication four in four or management communication in four. And it is a subject that is widely taken in the business studies offerings. Almost every student who registers in business studies, almost any of the programs in N4 would be required to take the either communication N4 or management communication N4. So we began with that to give us some kind of blueprint about how we were going to approach the whole review of these subjects. So what we did was, following from that experience of reviewing the communication N4 and the management communication N4, which we completed, we drew on the experience of how we approached that review, and we set up curriculum support teams in 2018. And these curriculum support teams were set up by program, which means each program, not by subject, because that would be too many. So we set them up by the program, for example, whether it was marketing management, business management, or human resources management, or in engineering, the civils, electrical, and what have you. So the curriculum support teams were made up of industry experts, and we can understand very well why that would be the case, to ensure that the current workplace standards and practices were infused into the curriculum. We also involved the institutions of higher learning where this was necessary, and I must say that it has been very necessary, and we have ensured that in all the IT programs, I must say at this stage here that all the ICT-related subjects across the college curricula have all been updated and reviewed where we are now. We haven't started implementing them, but they have all been reviewed, and we'll speak a little more about that down the line. So we worked especially with the UOTs in the revisions and in the IT program in particular. And of course, the people whom we've always relied on, we always bring in our college lecturers, the TVET subject matter experts. Because despite all the complaints we hear in the public domain, Chair, we do have a pool of very committed and expert TVET college lecturers. They are not in the majority, admittedly. I suppose that is why it comes up all the time. That's not the majority of the people we have. But we do have pockets of really good subject matter experts across the system, college system. And I want to take this opportunity to also say that we do have in our teaching workforce people who work extremely hard at what they do to strengthen the sector. Then, Chair, coming to the following the establishment of the curriculum support team in over the 2018 and 2019 years, we have undertaken 38 subject reviews, and this spans right across N1 to N6 for this period. Now, just on this point, I want to focus, Chair and Honourable Members, that over this time there have been many debates about, what we should phase out and what we should introduce, and it's not an easy decision. But given that the discussions were so protracted and there's always different views held across different stakeholders, we decided to conduct the reviews right across from N1 to N6. You will see just now we speak about, phasing out of N1 to N3, but I don't want to garble the discussion. At the time that the decision was taken in 2018, we said we are going to review right across N1 to N6, just so that we have updated curricula for students. What we did then was, and this covered the engineering studies, the business studies, and the services studies. And the rationale for the identification of the subject, as you know, in TVET has a vast curriculum space. By far more, I would say it covers 4 to 5 times the subjects that we have in schools. Universities are fine because they are confined to what they offer per institution. We offer national curricula. So it's a massive curriculum space that we deal with. So we had to identify which were the subjects we were going to prioritize. And the prioritization, the rationale for the prioritization was based on demand, those subjects that were taken, in large numbers and were still relevant, actually, and in demand. And in essence, they were still, four IR compatible. The content needed updating, but the skills areas that they deal with would still be extremely relevant within the context of 4IR. So if we look at the subjects then, engineering studies, we looked at the automotive industry clearly is a priority in the is a priority economic sector. We chose that. We chose the electrical area, mechanotechnics, electrotechnics, and quantity surveying in the civil engineering area. And in terms of the business and services studies, it's all around the information processing, a lot of on the ICT related side. As you look down the list, it's in the travel curriculum, tourism area, financial accounting and management, and so forth. So if you look at the spread of subjects, it doesn't look 38, but it's because of the levels. Like N4 to N6, if we look at that, it's 3. It's classified as 3 subjects because they would be 3 different curricula for that. And I think that's easily understandable. If we go to the next slide, 30 of these subjects, we reviewed 38. 30 of these subjects, they submitted to the QCTO. For quality assurance, and those were approved this year. and the two CTO is going to present, so they would be, I'm sure, the presentation would cover some of this in relation to TVET. And these will be implemented from 2021, the academic year. It means it will be phased in by level in trimesters. Each trimester would have a new level. In semesters, each new semester would bring in the next level. Very important, Chair, is that with these national curricula thus far, we have always supported colleges by providing them with textbooks. In this whole issue around COVID, we always made the point in the TVET sector, the textbooks were always going to be the backbone of supporting students with their learning. And that's because it's an exercise, a very intensive exercise that we undertake in the department. With every curriculum that is new or that is revised, we engage in a very intensive process with publishers to develop textbooks. The evaluation of textbooks, we've completed 14 subjects thus far, the 14 that are going to be implemented in January of 2021. We've completed the evaluation. It's a very intensive evaluation and a re-evaluation process to approve the textbook. It's done at the level of the department, and then we put it onto a catalog. So what this really says is that when we release approved textbooks to the colleges by way of a catalog, we are quite sure that students who study from them and lecturers who use them are in a position to support students to the extent that they can sit an exam. Even if a student sits independently and studies through the textbook to prepare for the national exam, they would be sufficiently prepared at least to just pass the examination. Those are the kinds of criteria we have bedded down in evaluating these textbooks and approving them. If they don't meet those criteria, they are not approved and they do not go onto the catalog for procurement. So I think that's an important point, because when you are introducing new and revised curricula, this is an important tool for success for students. The 8 engineering curricula, N1 to N3, that we reviewed, this falls within the domain of Umalusi, and those have been submitted to Umalusi. It's within the GenFET, General and Further Education and Training Qualifications sub-framework, and they are in the process of being approved. We haven't really gotten the approval from Umalusi as yet. Their process takes a little bit longer than the QCTO process. Chair, we thought that, given the currency of what is happening and skills development as a whole, and the whole 4IR dialogue, it is important for us to communicate how we have attempted to incorporate digital skills training into the TVET curriculum. And in this regard, we have focused on the National Certificate Vocational, which already has had a program called Information Technology and Computer Science. And that was a stream, that was a general stream that offered subjects in networking, in programming, and information management systems. And what we found is that we needed to give the students the options of choosing different streams. And one of the streams we elected for, based on the investigations we had undertaken and so forth, and working with the UOTs and TUT in particular, is the robotics stream. And this synergizes very well with the offerings that the basic education department have introduced into the schooling curriculum. So there will be good alignment between what young people would have done at school, starting from the junior secondary phase into the senior secondary phase, which is also where the National Certificate Vocational is located, should those students come into the system. So that's the choice we are offering, either between the programming stream and the robotics stream. The new subjects we have introduced, these are brand new, is the electronic and digital concepts for robotics, the robotics fundamentals and robotics and robotics and industrial automation. So the curriculum is completed, and given the kind of preparation that is necessary to deliver a curriculum of this nature, we have earmarked the delivery of this program for 2022. Because, as you know, there are many other considerations in the delivery of ICT-related curricula. Chair, at this point, I just want to use this opportunity to highlight the very specific challenges of developing and offering national curriculum and examinations. Because when we develop national curricula, you have to take into account what the situation is across every single teaching site. And as we know, this is extremely uneven, as it is in schools, I'm sure. You know, there are those that are extremely well-resourced and those that are very poorly resourced. In the TVET college sector, it is the same. We have some colleges that have been, well-equipped to offer ICT-related curricula for a while, but there are those who struggle, and it's not necessarily only because of what the college is able to provide. It is also about, infrastructure that has to come into the college from the outside when it relates to ICT. I mean, we all struggle with ICT. I'm having a horrendous time right now with the service, with the streaming from MTN. So there are all of those considerations when you write the curriculum. It starts right from that point. Will every single site of learning be able to deliver the curriculum that you desire or that you wish or that would be ideal? And you've got to consider that it must be fair across the board to all students everywhere. So I'm just highlighting that the curriculum value chain is on the whole extremely long. Even before we start the reviews or developing new curriculum, there are many steps, many consultations that go into it. And therefore, the time frames that are involved are also extremely long. And then once the development happens, the whole value chain from the teaching, the pedagogy, the didactics, and so forth, right through to the examinations and the certification, as we know, is another very long pipeline. So this whole area of curriculum development right through to delivery and the success of students is an extremely long one that involves many role players, and it's quite labor and time intensive. And if people feel that we are a bit tardy, in delivering new curriculum in short time frames, it really is because of this and not because of the lack of will or commitment. As we know, lecturer development is a huge part of delivering curriculum successfully. Now, I just want to say at this stage that is a whole area on its own. It has its own plans, it has its own milestones, and I did not cover this in this presentation, so in this presentation we just wanted to focus on the curriculum as we were asked to, because if you went into lecturer development, it's a whole different domain and it would be a pretty long presentation. Chair, in terms of the rationalization of TVET qualifications and examinations that we are asked to share, in 2017, and as you know, the INVISO was in that year, we had as one of our APP targets the development of a qualifications framework policy. And that policy was developed, and it was submitted to the Minister for consideration. And after many discussions at EXCO, and we had held a small colloquium, we developed the policy, which didn't seem the most appropriate document to drive the development of qualifications in the TVET sector. But what we had was a position paper that came out of that policy document that was developed, and in 2019 it was submitted to the minister, who subsequently approved it in January this year. And the position paper outlines several things that need to take place to transform the TVET qualifications landscape and we'll speak to this a little more in the next, in just the next slide. Chair, I wish to highlight also that during this period from 2018, I would say, to 2017 to 2020, during a very critical period when all these curriculum initiatives were underway, that we had to present and represent and have, you know, buy-in from three different ministers. There were quick changes, and as you know, no minister is going to buy very quickly into changes that are going to happen on this scale across the landscape and in a high-stakes sector such as TVET. So I think that was an important factor, that different ministers had to be lobbied and convinced, and they had to take their own decision, undertake their own consultations on how we would proceed and what would be approved. But in January 2020, Minister Nzimande had approved what was in the position paper. And if we look at the next slide, we indicate in the next slide what some of the critical proposals were, recommendations were to take forward. And each of these require their own processes, and they would be mainly in the form of gazettes and so forth. So one of the critical ones I spoke about earlier on is the phasing out of N1 to N3 engineering studies. Now, the reason for this, Chair, we presented it before, and these discussions are quite long. I'm not going to give them all here because they are based on extensive consultations. But in short, the N1 to N3 were never qualifications by themselves as they were offered in TVET colleges. They were three certificates, three independent certificates. They never resulted in a qualification until they were combined with the Business English and SAFA Afrikaans that were offered in the old curriculum. But all of that has been phased out. So those no longer exist. We cannot offer them. Then they could be certified as the old senior certificate together with two languages from the schooling curriculum. But Uma Lucy has phased that out as well. 2019 was the last year that they used the two subjects to combine with four subjects from N1 to N3, not N1 to N3, sorry, N3, to give the students the equivalent of what was the old matric. For those of us who are old enough, we will remember the old matric was called the technical matric. Now, that matric didn't allow students to go to university and so forth, but it did serve a purpose at the time, at a period in time. But with Uma Lucy ending the combination since the NSC came about in schools, this did not exist as a qualification, and we don't have any justification for it as a qualification. And for the many other reasons that we had, this is the predominant one, because on the qualification landscape, we couldn't find a place for it. It did not have a place. So that forms the key motivation for why we chose to phase this out. But there are others. Then, and that will require a process of its own. We are in the process of undertaking the phase-out. We've undertaken the consultations already. Then also, in terms of rationalizing exams, the next few points concurrently deal with the rationalization of exams in as much as it deals with those qualifications. In terms of the National Certificate Vocational, the proposal is to convert it from three-year qualifications, level 2, level 3, and level 4, which are certified separately currently, into 1 3-year qualification. So levels 2 and 3 will not stand as independent qualifications, which they are currently on the GenFET sub-framework. And that means levels 2 and 3 will not be external examinations, but like with schools in grades 10 and 11, they will be run internally. That is one of the proposals that will require an amendment to the qualification itself, because that's a requirement. Then also coming from the MBISO was the recommendation of reviewing the engineering studies and converting them from trimester to semester programs. The key reason for that would be to introduce some practical training into the curriculum, because engineering studies in particular does not have any practicals. The semester programs in business and services studies actually do have practicals. It's not true when people say it's only theory. Students who are, for example, registered in business studies, hospitality, would actually do practicals in hospitality. So engineering studies, the trimester programs, and we know this goes back into history when people were employed and then they came out on block release and so forth for short periods from their areas of, from their places of employment, and did the theory and then they went back into the workplace and so forth. So that was the intention of the engineering studies, and we know things have changed since then. So we need to take a more realistic view of the students who are coming to us and give them both the theory and the practicals. And that means we have to extend the learning period. So that would also require a process where we have to ask for an amendment to the qualification itself, the diploma, and that we'll have to do jointly with the QCTO. What that will mean if that happens, and this is something we are also going to do anyway, is all the Report 191 programs, we intend to internalize the N4 and N5 examinations, because in terms of the current policies even that exist, we are not compelled to run external exams in N4 and N5. At the exit level, N6, that is a requirement. So this is just something we will have to work with the QCTO on how we will implement that. It is tied up to the qualifications themselves. We can't just withdraw examinations for the purposes of expediency or any other reason. We have to look at it in what impact it has on the qualification, and more importantly, how it will impact assessment. So that is also on the table, and we are taking that forward with the QCTO. The last slide, Chair, is just a statement, and it's a very important statement because it affects us. To a large extent. You know, diversification of programs in TVET colleges has been very difficult, because once everybody, you know, whether it's us as bureaucrats or whether it's people in colleges or even workplaces, get comfortable with qualifications or programs or curricula, it is very difficult to get a change, because people get to be extremely comfortable with what they've been accustomed to. Lecturers, for example, in colleges get so comfortable with what they've been teaching. It's a massive exercise to get them to change the mindset. It's also about the day-to-day practical implications. They've got to change, they themselves have to upskill and reskill. They've got to grapple with new content, new textbooks, new notes, new materials, new worksheets, all sorts of new things, which means extra work. And just to give you an example, I mean, one can pretty much write a thesis on this. Every time we've undertaken to phase out something, there's been a pushback from some stakeholder constituency or the other. Those who have been in the system long enough will know we started out phasing the native programs around 2006, and we had to pull back. In 2009, we had to run a counter-gazette and stop that process. So therefore, we still have the native. So it's a very difficult thing to do. But it's also very difficult to carry historical qualifications and introduce new qualifications. That's what makes the system so difficult to manage. It makes it extremely complex and expensive as well to deliver. And I'll just finish with one example, Chair. For example, we always found that there was a resistance to phasing out the N2. N2 in particular. Rather, people hardly spoke about N1 or N3 for that matter. And the real reason for not wanting it phased out was not really about its educational value, because I'm a hardcore curriculum person myself. So many years ago, I asked the question, what is it in N2 that we cannot infuse anywhere else, or it cannot be satisfied anywhere else, because it's really content. And it came down to the fact that N2 was specifically mentioned in the Manpower Training Act to place staff in industry at a certain level, and that correlated to a salary level. So it actually became an HR imperative. HR did not know how to deal with these new qualifications that were coming through, where to place them, how to find the alignment with the NQF and correlated to job descriptions in the workplace. So we get all of that kind of pushback that is not really hardcore, just about the curriculum and the content. It's about many other things that stakeholders are resistant to in transforming the curriculum. Chair, with that, I'd like to say thank you, and we look forward to the questions and the robust discussions as we go forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Singh. We'll now allow for the chair and the CEO of the QCTO to then make their presentation.
Greetings, Chairperson, Honorable Mkhatshwa, and the esteemed members of the committee. My name is Sam Zungu. I am the chairperson of the QCTO. I am accompanied by the conservative management that is led by the CEO, Mr. Vijay Naidu. Let me also greet DDG for the TVETs, Ms. Aruna Singh, and other representatives from the Department of Higher Education and Training. I hope I am audible, Chairperson.
You are audible, Mr. Zungu. If we do lose you as time goes by, we will request that you switch off your video.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chairperson.
Will you be citing your presentation?
Chair, the presentation will be done by the CEO. Mine will just be the opening remarks that I would love to share with the committee, if that is it. Okay. So I won't be doing a presentation, but just to make the opening remarks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Naidu is also accompanied or supported by the two chief directors, Mr. Lata, as well as Mr. Emmanuel Mbue. Honorable Chair, let me also take the opportunity to thank you and the committee for the invitation to be part of this briefing today. Let me express my sincere appreciation, as this is my first address to this august committee. Allow me to offer a few opening remarks about today's briefing. This meeting comes less than a week after the President's address to the Joint Sitting of Parliament on South Africa's economy. Yes, Chair.
I'm so sorry to disturb you. I think there might be a TV or a radio or something in the background. If that's the case, could you kindly have it switched off, please? I'm just getting a bit of sound from the back.
Okay. Apologies, Chair. It's not. I am in a site where there is construction around, because I am in the Eastern Cape, so that could not find another suitable venue. At the moment, I think there's some construction happening. That's why you get the feedback. Apologies for that. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. The meeting comes less than a week after the President addressed to the Joint Sitting of Parliament on South Africa's Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan. The ELP notes, and I quote, "The skills development is critical not only in driving South Africa's economic reconstruction and recovery, but also in sustaining it," end quote. President Ramaphosa also noted in his weekly newsletter, and I quote, "The launch of the Presidential Employment Stimulus last week marks a fundamental shift in our approach to tackling unemployment. We are undertaking a far-reaching and ambitious public investment in human capital with the state as both a creator and an enabler of jobs, end quote. Human resource development, or let me say skills development in particular, is fundamental in moving our country out of poverty and into a state of economic recovery. For all, the COVID-19 pandemic has further highlighted the inequalities in our society, especially the skills mismatch and labor market needs, and our collective efforts should be directed at addressing these and many other challenges that the skills development ecosystem is facing. The QCTO is mandated to oversee the design, the implementation, assessment, and certification of occupational qualifications, including trades on the occupational qualification sub-framework. This augurs well with the implementation plan for the ERP and our strategic focus over the next 5 years. Our systems and processes have been updated, automated, and geared towards addressing the call by the president in the State of the Nation address on the 13th of February 2020, where he said, and I quote, "We are fundamentally changing how we prepare young people for the future of work, providing shorter, more flexible courses in specific skills that employers in fast-growing sectors need," end quote. The QCPO has responded to that call, and we have registered several occupational qualifications, including trades, over the last 10 years. We have also approved several skills programs for livelihood that can be offered at accredited skills development providers, SDPs, like your TVET and CET colleges. These are available on our website, and Mr. Naidu and his team will provide more information in our presentation. Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee, the QCTO is not oblivious to the challenges that beset the country and around youth unemployment, graduate employability, and the responsiveness of curriculum to the labor market or industry needs. As Ms. Singh once was presenting, for instance, the issue of the engineering programs, your N1 to N6, where you find that these students are subjected to do only 4 subjects. But because they are doing engineering, you find that when they go out to the industry, for instance, their communication skills are not up to scratch, as well as the computer skills, because on the engineering side, you find that they were not exposed to such skills. And this is part of the call to say how do we ensure that when they walk out of the gates of the student colleges, they are well equipped to be able to fend for themselves outside in the job market. We need a multi-pronged approach in addressing these challenges. The QCTO has worked collaboratively with the DHET, the industry, employer organization, social partners, government departments, and other stakeholder bodies to ensure it develops occupational qualifications that are world-class and that will address industry needs. However, the constrained economy and impact of COVID-19 has further widened the chasm between work opportunities and the number of students wanting to complete their qualifications. The announcement by the President on the creation of work opportunities across economic sectors over the next 3 years will positively support the efforts of the post-school education and training sector in terms of expanding access to training in line with the implementation plan of the ERP. Once again, thank you, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity, and let me hand over to the CEO of the QCTO, Mr. Vijay Naidu, and his team for a comprehensive response to matters under discussion. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Zoom, Mr. Naidu.
Thank you, Chair. And greetings to the Chair, Honorable Mokwacha, and the members, Chair of Council, and also colleagues from the Department of Higher Education and Training, as well as the as colleagues from UMULUSI. Chair, I would continue with the presentation. If I would be allowed to share my screen, I will do that. Chair, I'm hoping that my screen is now visible.
Not yet. Mr. Cabin, if you can assist, please.
Okay. Yes.
There you go.
Is this one fine?
We can now.
Okay.
Yes, we can now. Thank you.
Chair, our presentation is slightly longer than the department, but nevertheless, I talk with speed, and I will try to go over it. I thought there might be a requirement for a bit of a context before we go directly into the actual response in terms of the TVET and CET sectors curriculum. So I'm just going to touch on briefly our mandate and our strategic plans, etc., because I think that will set a quick context to refresh our minds and also so that we correctly place responsibilities. In terms of the legislative mandate, it comes from basically two pieces of legislation, the NQF Act as well as the Skills Development Act. And Chair, I just want to focus on what's highlighted in red, because I think that is a significant issue that has not been tackled, and we are addressing that issue as the QCTO, as the mandate. And that is to develop occupational standards and qualifications. Now, that is the mandate of the QCTO. And I think sometimes there's a conflation between the issue of a qualification and a curriculum. And I'll make that statement up front, but also clarify it as I go further down. Now, when we talk about occupational standards, when we look at an occupation, the standards that we talk about is what are the essential skills that will be required by the learner who would eventually qualify. And a lot of the occupations, if you look at welding, there are international welding codes. If you look at electrical, there are electrical codes. So those become the standards for that occupation. And then the issue is how do you then develop a qualification that encompasses and embraces these occupational standards. And that's been the focus of the QCTO. And if we go to the next bullet, I've also highlighted that our responsibility is to develop these qualifications, past qualifications and skill programs in and for the workplace. Hence the necessity that when we develop such qualifications, we have to build in what will be the exact workplace experience that would be required for the learner to qualify. And so essentially we're saying that the QCTO is responsible for developing a macro framework within which the other activities would follow. In terms of our key policy imperatives, again, Chair, I think we all quite familiar with the white paper and the NSD, National Skills Development Plan, etc. But in particular, I want to focus on the last bullet that's in red, and that's the implementation and expansion of occupational qualifications, past qualifications and skills programs by accredited skills development providers in the PSET sector. And I want to emphasize PSET sector. So it would be our TVET colleges, our CET colleges, also for the expansion of the centers of specialization that the department is running as a project. And in the PSET sector, we're also looking at universities of technology and also comprehensive universities. So we do not believe that the QCTO is relegated to a specific portion or institutional type. And we have already had quite a few engagements with universities of technologies and comprehensive universities. But that discussion is for another day. But just to in case that we are looking across the board. Now, Chair, in terms of just to underpin the emphasis that we are placing on the topic under discussion, in our strategic plan, we've actually built into it or took into consideration priority two, which is the education, skills and health from the MTSF, as well as the Department of Higher Education strategic plan, and to look at the four bulleted points: expanded access to PSET opportunities, improved success and efficiency, improved quality of PSET provisioning, and a responsive PSET system. I think the emphasis, you know, is on improved quality of PSET provisioning, and that is one of the matters that the QCTO is looking at quite strongly. And so in terms of the QCTO imperatives, the three imperatives guiding us from 2020 to 2025 will be to create this dynamic occupational qualification sub-framework that creates mobility and articulation. And the second one that we put in is to adopt a special focus on TVET and CET colleges. And then obviously the third is an internal building a QCTO that is a learning organization. But we have for the next 5 years adopted a special focus on TVET colleges. Now in order to do this, we have what we call a national quality assurance system, which subsumes everything that needs to be done leading up to the issuing of certificates to qualifying learners. When we talk about certificates, it's in line with the nomenclature of the revised OQSF policy, and I'll talk to that in one of the slides. And we say that while we cannot guarantee employment, we will definitely, as the QCTO, ensure employability or self-employment, as well as issues of sustainability. That's what is driving us. Now, Chair, we have revised our occupational qualification sub-framework, which was gazetted in March, but the QCTO had to subsequently withdraw that gazette and place it on hold because it was supposed to be preceded by a ministerial determination that then gives the legal backing to the OQSF. So we're hoping that that will be done shortly so that we can move towards the revised OQSF. Now, Chair, people may be wondering why I'm going through this, but if you had to look at the extreme right-hand column, the purple column, if my colors are right, previously the QCTO, in terms of the ministerial determination, was only allowed to offer occupational certificates at levels 1 all the way to levels 8, which we have been implementing. Then comes the issue of parity of esteem and articulation, and how does a learner with a level 7 qualification on the OQSF move into a higher education degree or qualification. So the revised OQSF makes provision for these qualifications. So starting at level 1 is a general occupational certificate, working its way all the way up to level 7 as an advanced occupational diploma, and level 8, which is a specialized occupational diploma. Now, Chair, it goes without saying that these are just not changing the names of the certificates to diplomas. It will have to ensure that what's in that qualification actually meets the requirements to be a diploma, and that, we believe, is going to really bolster the TVET colleges in terms of the qualification types that they will be able to offer. So what's currently the N4, N5, N6? Starts to become called higher occupational certificates, occupational diploma, and depending how we build further on that, we could go all the way right up to a specialized occupational diploma. Chair, in terms of the qualifications model that we use, and we presented this previously, that our qualifications must have knowledge modules, practical modules, and workplace experience modules. And the learner has to satisfy all those requirements before they get to the integrated summative assessment, which is their final single assessment. We've had to review that in our new OPSF, and the practical modules and the workplace experience modules, and I'm focusing on the blue arrow, we have realized that some qualifications do not need extensive workplace experience. And so those qualifications will be packaged as knowledge theory and applied knowledge. And applied knowledge, I think, is what Ms. Singh also kind of referred to, that in some of the business studies programs, it's already in place. So we do not have to stick to the three separations. We could combine these to possibly simulated learning, et cetera. But this is still the fundamental model for the occupational qualification. And in terms of this slide, it's just that in the black block is what I spoke about, the occupational standard. Then we develop the qualification, then the curriculum statement, and then we develop an assessment statement. And I think what is missing, and that's where we need the collaboration between QCTO, DIET, and industry, is the whole issue around the curriculum content or the teaching curriculum. Now, in the QCTO curriculum statement, it basically covers what the topics are to be covered with a brief synopsis. It does not necessarily translate into a curriculum or a textbook, as Ms. Singh had indicated. And I think this is the area where we need to actually collaborate further so that the occupational qualifications can be taken up at TVET colleges or in a wider sense. Exactly whose responsibility that is still a bit of a gray area, but it's something that we would have to look at. So what we say is that we're not entirely responsible for the curriculum development. However, we have developed curriculum statement documents and assessment frameworks to assist and guide providers with the development of material to support the implementation of the programs. And also, while these serve as guidelines, they are not necessarily the panacea in itself, as further guidance is required, which might include lecture training, etc. Now, the department has, through the NOCC, the National Occupational Curriculum Content, developed such kind of curriculum for the 13 trades that are part of the COS project. And so I think it's an example that we are learning from, and we will have to develop more such occupational curriculum content documents going forward. I'm going to skip this slide and just go to the focus. So in terms of the QCTO's response in terms of TVET and CET sectors, the white paper obviously is talking about a curriculum that responds to local labor market needs or that responds to particular requests from CETAs. And that is because they have a closer interaction with industry, employers or government to meet specific development goals that will result in a differentiated college system with various niche areas of specialization. Now, as a QCTO, in order to support this, we have developed the motto, and we go by it, that we develop qualifications for industry by industry. And I think that's the nub of today's focus is are we developing curriculum and qualifications that are required within industry. In terms of the reconstruction of the TVET programs, and I think Ms. Singh has spoken about this, We've embarked on a process of reconstruction of all programs offered at TVET colleges. The project started with the business studies programs, and these are all have been translated into occupational qualifications, which are available for uptake. And the challenge, Chair, is that the implementation of these have not taken traction at TVET colleges, as currently does not form part of their program qualification mix. So we are hopeful that, you know, the norms and standards for TVETs and CETs will hopefully open up these blockages to allow these qualifications to be offered. The engineering programs are currently being reconstructed together with the DHET to occupational qualifications, but there's been a bit of constraints on that. Progress is hampered, but we will be prioritizing that. But it presents an entirely new model for us. The QCPO's model allows for the development of qualifications that are relevant to industry, as it involves processes of consultation with industry bodies, as well as a broad range of constituency stakeholders, including stakeholder partners, social partners, and I must also say the TVET lecturers also form part of these processes. Ms. Singh covered these, so I'm not going to go through it. It's just in terms of the actual individual NATED programs that were approved by the QCPO from 2013 all the way up to now 2020. Now, these are still the individual programs that we have approved. Now, Chair, I think this is the point that I was making, that the occupational qualifications have been developed. So if I just look at the first one, which is the occupational certificate bookkeeper, and it actually is meant to replace the National End Diploma Financial Management. Now, under financial management, obviously, there is a number of subjects. The minimum could be 12, but it could be more depending on the elective. And we've developed that into an occupational certificate. It's called the bookkeeper at NQF level 5. Now, I know that the argument and the criticism is that we are taking away a diploma and replacing it with a level 5 certificate. Truth be told, when this process unfolded and industry was brought on board, the financial diploma was misleading in the sense that it did not actually result in somebody being a financial manager. And so while we agree that there would be a vacant or a slot created within the new framework, we believe that we can now build a level 6 qualification above the bookkeeper that could take the learner to a... and by the way, this if the OQSF has changed, will now be called a higher occupational certificate, not just an occupational certificate. And then the learner could progress into a diploma at the appropriate level, which will be level 6. And so, Chair, these slides just cover all of the business studies qualifications that have been registered and which could be offered against the current NATED that is being offered at TVET colleges. In terms of the TVET engineering, it's providing us with a new insight into this process. So the occupational qualifications that we are developing, we are aligning them to the Engineering Council of South Africa, ECSA, in order to comply with the professional registration criteria. This will promote articulation options between the OQSF as well as the higher education framework. And in this regard, there are already some world-class qualifications that we've already developed, mechatronics and welding being just two examples that have received international endorsement already. This just provides a diagram. So in the redesign of the engineering N4 to N6, we are looking at all of these modules, knowledge modules, the sciences, the design and synthesis, the computing and information technology, and all of these should lead to the black arrow, which goes up to an occupational certificate, which could also then move to a diploma or advanced certificate, and the learner could then articulate into higher education to pursue further engineering studies, leading down to registration as a professional engineer or a candidate engineer. So the qualifications that will be that should be offered at TVET colleges should not be dead-end qualifications, but should be able to lead candidates into becoming these kind of engineers as per the extra requirements. Now, Chair, what is interesting in this model is that we can also reverse the arrows. Learners falling out of universities for whatever reason after completing 2 years or 3 years come out with actually no qualification but have spent 2 or 3 years. They could very well go backwards into whatever we have on the OQSF and at least get a qualification there. Obviously, not automatically, there will have to be a gap analysis, etc. So this model that I'm talking about that we are working with the different stakeholders is presenting to us a good articulation model that works across and up and down, if I may use that word. I'll skip that slide, Chair. These are some of the programs that we are still developing in conjunction with MixCETA. I won't go through the whole list, but you can see it's all that are currently being taught about: artificial intelligence, data science, design thinking, Internet of Things, fiber and mobile. And these are currently skills programs that we are developing in conjunction with MixCETA. And these could very well be taken up at TVET as well as CET. So in partnership with the DHEC, we've participated in two projects, the DSPP and the COST project, as I've indicated, in the rollout of occupational qualifications, mainly trade qualifications, and 13 of them. Now, the constraints that we found through these two projects is the major challenge is the high cost associated with delivering these qualifications, as well as the funding model. But there's a need for closer collaboration and partnership with industry, and we cannot overstate this. So the learners to get the work experience, as well as to bridge the gap between the qualification and industry take-up. Now, Chair, in terms of the challenges, I think that we have to address is the challenge is not around about the qualification or the curriculum. The challenge is around the delivery model. The QCTO qualifications are modular-based, but should be offered in an integrated way. Native programs are largely theory-based, with little or no practical training, and I think Ms. Singh clarified that statement for us. So students are required to obtain, especially in engineering, the relevant practical after completion of the N4 to N6 before getting the diploma. Now, our strategy to mitigate this is to recurriculate the N4 to N6 subjects or programs in line with the modules in the occupational qualification. We don't think that we need to redo the whole process because the QCTO modules are fairly updated in terms of industry requirements. But this will obviously mean that colleges have to offer some form of practical or simulated training, and I think the point was also raised by Ms. Singh. But in some qualifications, actual workplace experience will be necessary, but we'll have to adjust that according to the qualification requirements. Different industries require different time frames in the industry. Now, Chair, there was an issue around the TVET examination cycle, and I'm not so sure whether our presentation is going to answer that, but I'll just not go through all the points here, but to say that we will work together with the DHET in implementing an ISA for the the N6 programs. We support that the N4 and N5 become internal examinations, and we have just a single examination at the end of the N6. The only challenge that we will have to work through is that the ISA is integrated in terms of the fact that it will have to be after the learner has also got whatever necessary work experience might be needed. Now, Chair, I think this will go a long way in simplifying the examinations regime from 12 exams that the learner has to take to it just become external exams to it just becoming one external integrated summative assessment. And I think that's going to make a big impact in the system. So that's as much as I want to say in terms of the examinations. In terms of our current quality assurance of the native programs, it's very limited, Chair, at this point in time. It's the monitoring of the examination processes. We do sample monitoring of the exam sessions that are conducted at exam centers and monitoring of all marking centers that are appointed by the DHET. Other functions have been delegated to the DHET, and obviously once it becomes an occupational qualification, the QCTO then takes full responsibility for it. So in the transition, there's a sharing of responsibilities in this particular area. I've covered that one, Chair. So obviously, I said there will be possible challenges with the ISA models. You know, in the N6, N4, 5, and 6, there are electives, and then one has got to figure out how do we ensure that the assessment covers the electives adequately, but we're saying that this is something that we could work around and get it done. We've also got e-assessment platforms. We've got a project of developing an assessment item bank for all occupational qualifications, and seeing that the DHET is an assessment quality partner or of the QCTO, we would have to partner with the DHET in the rollout of this e-assessment. And again, that is going to simplify the exam regime. We could have marking online, and there's a number of opportunities that will come out of this assessment data bank that we will have. We need to develop an online ecosystem for skills development, to bring together the many data sources for provisioning, assessment, and certification. Now, Chair, we were also asked to talk about skills programs, and I think I've just got, this might be the last slide or second to last slide. We have also developed programs for the CET subsector. We started in 2018 after a specific request by Minister Naledi Pandor to ensure the skilling of unemployed youth that attend CET colleges. We did a project, and there is a document available. The project resulted in the identification of 24 skills programs that are to be developed for the CET sector. To date, QCTO has developed 21 skills programs, 14 of which have been approved already by our council for implementation at CET colleges or any skills development provider, including a TVET colleges, and these are all accessible on our QCTO website. So the purpose of that report was to advise the minister on the suite of skills programs to be offered at CETs. That was the document that we had produced. And then we also hosted a symposium in 2019 already, skills development for livelihood and employment, and the aim there was to improve skills programs at CETs. This is the list of 14 programs that have already been accredited, and it's available to be offered. And we are pursuing this particular agenda of short skills programs quite vigorously, especially with the onset of the pandemic and the need for employability self-employment and sustainability. So, Chair, I think there are points of divergence and some points of convergence between Viet and the QCTO, but I think it's nothing that cannot be overcome with a little bit of work so that we improve the qualifications as well as the curriculum that would be offered at the TVET colleges. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Naidu, and thank you very much to our colleagues from the QCTO and from the department. Mr. Naidu, you still had time on your side, but thank you for being able to efficiently present to us. I'll then allow for members to engage. I have noted that Dr. Timbagwayo has indicated that you will be joining the Portfolio Committee on Health, and then she'll return when she can. But in the interim, then, can I please note hands to engage? I note the hand of Honorable Bosho. The only Honorable Bosho that's engaging today, Honorable Lucia. Honorable Matata.
Honorable Chair. I tried to raise my hand, and it looks like it wasn't visible on this one.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks, Honorable Mother.